Welcome to Trail Bites for the week of January 23rd, 2020. I'm Gavin Jackson. Jeez, this is our first Trail Bite of the new year? What does that say about the race, Iowa? This mini-pod is a companion piece to the South Carolina Lead, and we're doing this to help keep you up to speed on what candidates are saying on the 2020 campaign trail in the Palmetto State, and also what South Carolinians like you are thinking. Over the past week, we saw businessman Tom Steyer roll through the Carolinas on a three-day bus tour. Former Vice President Joe Biden spoke at an Orangeburg oyster roast, and six other candidates joined those two for the King Day at the Dome march and event. Senators Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Amy Klobuchar attended, along with Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who barely had the time to be there and didn't speak at the event. That's because all the candidates had commitments to be at the Brown and Black Presidential Forum in Des Moines, Iowa that day as well. Iowa. A drumline helped keep up the pep of the eight candidates and the hundreds who joined them as they marched arm-in-arm from Zion Baptist Church in downtown Columbia to the State House. Warren and Sanders were prominently marching side-by-side after their recent spat, which seemed to be miles away as the candidates focused on continuing the legacy of Dr. King through their work. Now, this is a big episode because we have remarks from all seven candidates, as well as some reaction from three people who heard the candidates on that brisk MLK Day at the State House in Columbia. So, without further ado...
Bernie Sanders, and that is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who we honor today, was a nonviolent revolutionary. He took on the entire political establishment, he took on the economic establishment, and he fought racism every step of the way. And what our job is not just to remember the history of Dr. King, it is to absorb his revolutionary spirit and apply it today. And that means we will fight racism in every part of American society. We will tell Republican governors they will not suppress the vote. If you're 18 years of age in America, you have the right to vote. End of discussion. Dr. King understood that there were the triple evils of American society were racism, were poverty, and militarism. And today we say in America, we will not accept massive levels of income and wealth inequality. We remember Dr. King's revolutionary spirit, and we say to the 1%, you cannot have it all. This country belongs to all of us. Dr. King believed in ending war and militarism, and we are sick and tired of spending trillions of dollars on endless wars when our kids can't afford to go to college or are leaving school deeply in debt.
Hello, South Carolina. This is a moment of crisis for our nation. Our economy has been hijacked by the rich and the powerful. Our government has been hijacked by the rich and the powerful. Our democracy has been hijacked by the rich and the powerful. As I travel this country, I see firsthand the dream Dr. King imagined more than 50 years ago. Today, I march down this street with optimism because I feel hope, I see hope. America is ready to move beyond this dark moment of Donald Trump. America is ready not to go back to an old system of racism and economic injustice that was broken long before Donald Trump showed up. America is ready to go forward to write the next chapter of our history. The next chapter. That will be an America where healthcare is a basic human right.
Demetria Dorsey, a student at South Carolina State University, said some candidates are clearly pandering to the African-American electorate, but she sees Senators Warren and Sanders as the best option, with their plans to increase funding to HBCUs like South Carolina State and tackle student loan debt.
I think they're trying to. There's only a couple that I believe really wholeheartedly believe in what they're saying, and then I believe that there's some that are pandering to us. So those are the candidates that I keep in mind. Personally, I am leaning towards Elizabeth Warren. I love everything that she stands for. I am a college student, so her and Bernie's stance against the college tuition being so high and being just out of reach. I have nieces and nephews that I want to be able to not be in the same situation as me and my mother and our parents before us was in. So I'm leaning more towards her because she, to me, is the most realistic to the people and majority of the people, while the rest are kind of in their own little world.
Businessman Tom Steyer called for past disputes among candidates to be put aside as they focus on defeating President Donald Trump.
This is about going back to recognize what actually happened so that we can repair what happened so we can go forward in an honest and just way. And let me say this. This is not the time for the people who are running for president to bicker with each other or complain. It's not time for wine caves and old stories and old videos. This is a time where we have a job. Beat Mr. Trump. There's no question about that.
Horace Bates was originally set on Biden, but now is a bit on the fence and is considering Steyer more and more. He said he'll be watching all the debates and reading up on the candidates up until he casts his ballot on February 29th.
You know what I was just speaking to my sister-in-law there a moment ago? As it gets closer to the election, at one time I had my mind made up, but as it gets closer to the election date, it's becoming, you know, harder to pick out, you know, which candidate you are, because each one has good ideas, and, you know, and they have a solid background. I was leaning towards Joe Biden, but Tom Steyer, he has a good message also. Basically self-made person, you know, someone that, you know, not only wants with their wealth, they did a lot with their wealth, not just sit on it.
Joe Biden! Sometimes those who fan the flames of hate bring forth the next great wave of progress. The Bull Connors of the day don't stand in the streets with fire hoses and dogs. They wear nice suits. They wield their power, rolling back rights, punishing the poor, denying access to health care, quality education, turning away refugees and asylum seekers. Today, it's not fire hoses. It's like that guy carrying the flag with the Trump sign on it. It's not snarling dogs that's brought us to an inflection point. It's Donald Trump's poisonous, divisionist politics. We have a tremendous opportunity to take the next great step forward in racial justice, criminal justice, domestic justice, environmental justice. Folks, we have a chance to rip out the systemic roots of racism in this country. To paraphrase Dr. King, we have guided missiles, but we have misguided men leading this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, hate never goes away, it only hides. Give it oxygen as Trump has done and it comes back. I also know, in the words of James Cleveland, I don't feel no ways tired. We don't feel no ways tired. We've come too far. We have, from where we started. Nobody told me the road would be easy. And I don't believe he brought me this far to stop now.
Senator Amy Klobuchar boasted her Midwesterner creds while donning a skirt and knee-high boots while South Carolinians were bundled up in the mid-30-degree weather.
I think this is a balmy day. I am from a state that is right now 30 degrees colder in the state of Minnesota, and I'm used to doing things like this with 4 inches of snow on my head. What affects one directly affects all indirectly. What does that mean? That means that when hate and bitter anger are on the rise every day, unleashed by those who sadly know exactly their intent and the result, when that hate is directed against one, it wounds all of us. It coarsens our civic life. You can see it in the senseless racist shooting of worshipers in Charleston. You can see it in that rabbi's home at Hanukkah, the stabbing. You see the bombing of the mosque in Minnesota. You see it after what happened in Charlottesville. And no, there are not many sides to blame, Mr. President, when one side is the Ku Klux Klan. There is only one side, and that side is the American side. I'm going to be leaving here tonight. I'm going to leave to go back to Washington, D.C., to do my constitutional duty. 100 jurors. But we know we represent all of you. And our job is to bring Dr. King's spirit of justice with us, just as we do justice for our country. And I know, as I get on that plane to go back to Washington, D.C., and sit in that chamber, that I will not stand alone. We go on behalf of the people of this great nation. We go on behalf of the truth. We go on behalf of justice.
Mary Edmonds of Columbia gave me some insight on the political stances of a Democratic family in 2020 between her and her husband and their children. I'm sure some of you can relate on this.
My children think that Joe Biden is very old and not progressive enough, and they would like to see someone more progressive.
Yeah. And your counter argument is always
we like Medicare for all, but we don't think it can, that people are going to be willing to give up their health insurance, and that we're afraid that if a candidate comes out for Medicare for all, that the drug companies, the hospitals, everybody will pile on it, and then they will argue that they're going to take away people's health care, health insurance. So that's a big argument we've had. So,
Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard.
Good afternoon and aloha. Our failed foreign policy of regime change wars and nation building has reduced the Middle East to chaos and rubble. Millions of innocent civilians killed or maimed, what to speak of the thousands of my brothers and sisters in uniform who have been wounded and given their lives. My personal commitment to all of you is that as president, I will do my very best to follow the legacy of Ms. Septima Clark and Dr. King by taking the trillions of dollars we are wasting to enact death and destruction and instead invest it in the cause of life and renewal in the United States of America.
And rounding out the day was former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, who spoke for more than 15 minutes as the crowd slowly dwindled down and no one else was left besides members of the event program. Patrick is barely registering in polls in South Carolina, but his campaign did recently open an office here this month.
How many times have we've been spat upon, kicked, called a name? How many times have our fellow Americans treated us as if there was no fellowship at all? And yet we still, in Dr. King's model, must be bridges to each other. I want to tell you that even in a time when we have been bullied for so long by an unfit and unkind president, and by his relentless propaganda, we have to keep that faith. It doesn't surprise me that we are on our side trying either to offer our version of his division or our hope for some yesterday to come and make it all better. I want you to have faith in each other because we are still a nation of conscience.
Looking ahead, former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg is in South Carolina Thursday and is taping interviews with On One podcast host Angela Rye at Claflin University in Orangeburg and then with Charlemagne the God in Monk's Corner this evening. Follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for candidate and campaign trail updates. Watch full remarks from the candidates who attended King Day at the Dome, as well as stops Tom Steyer made in the PD and Joe Biden in Orangeburg, as well as videos from other candidates who have visited the state on South Carolina ETV's YouTube page under the SC 2020 playlist. And just a reminder, Campaign Trail Bites is not biased toward any candidate or campaign. We're just covering these candidates as they come through and as we can get to them. We're out there trying to get as much information for you so you can make your own decision in 2020. And we'll bring you a mini-pod every time there's campaign trail activity in the state. And let us know your thoughts on our Twitter at @SCLeadPod and follow us with the same handle on Instagram for photos from the campaign trail. This trail bait was taped in South Carolina Public Radio's studios in Columbia on January 22nd, 2020, and is a production of the South Carolina Lead. I'm Gavin Jackson.